Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase. You know what that music means. I mean, somebody's family went to the Smokies, and the husband stayed behind.
Yeah, a texter just took the family side. Basically said that dude probably didn't have to spend a dime on that trip, and with him not going, they were probably happy because they saved some money and had a blast without him while dude sat at home by himself.
Wow. Ouch. Man, this has been a spunky day. See what happens when the Titans lose to a so-so team, a team they shouldn't have lost to?
We're all spirited today.
Yeah, there's some spunk today. I like it. Whew. All right, let's go down to Tampa. We're not going east. We're going down to Tampa, where they're probably full of spirit today down in Tampa, too. That's where our man Vince Ferrara is hanging out. He was at the shutout last night at Raymond James. He's down there visiting his family. You know, of course, this is a big week. It's a holiday week, right? And Vince went to the game last night and saw Tom Brady and the Bucks get shut out. Vince, what was the mood like in the stadium? I was actually joking with Vince. I called him at halftime. And when he was, you know, I thought, you know, when he answers, I'm going to say, look, dude, answer your phone. I knew you were going to answer because I know you're not at the game. He texted me back and said, hey, I'm at the game. And I was like, oh, I was going to, like, use that as my line to say, I know you're not at the game. And Vince was like, why would you think I wouldn't be at the game? I don't know. I don't know why. But that's awesome that you're at the game.
Did you say hi to Alvin Kamara and Shy Tuttle?
I did not. Everything was virtual. I had that on my list to do, but in Callaway.
In Callaway.
Because the Saints are the league leaders in former Vols, VFLs. They also have two more on the practice squad in Bryce Thompson and Ethan Wolfe. So I was looking forward to getting some one-on-ones, but the NFL doesn't work that way anymore, especially with the outbreak. So everything was virtual, and you couldn't request any guys. So I let that part of it ride. So I did take some video, pregame video of them, but that's about as close as I got from the stands.
So you got credentialed. You were in the press box?
Yes, I was. And
nice.
I enjoyed it. It's great. I mean, you guys know, and you know, the Tennessee Titans, God bless them, they don't lead the league in press box food for the media. So no disrespect. It is what it is. The Buccaneers, going into the game, led the league in points scored and best food spread for the media. It's ridiculous. So,
wow.
So they go way out of their way. It was a draw. The stadium was great. And the pregame energy and walking around taking some video and photos beforehand. It is a party there, man. They have so many things there that embrace their championship, and why not from last year? They've got these man-made sort of beaches, little beach areas with beach sand out front. They're doing concerts with a DJ, and I mean, there's just a lot of energy in that stadium beforehand. But, man, that came to an end during the game. First time Brady's been shut out at a streak of 255 straight games without being shut out. So please don't tell him that I was the common denominator in seeing him play for the first time in person. And then he got shut out because of his pull. He'll get me banned to ever go in another NFL game. But it was stunning that they weren't able to produce any points. The first time they were shut out at halftime. They'd only been shut out four quarters in the first half all year. And he can go on and on. It was amazing. But the Saints, for whatever reason, have done this to them in the regular season numerous times. And even going back to 2019, they have their number. So just stunning. And the Saints did enough on offense. But it was very cool to be there for sure.
Well, a lot of people were excited about the basketball game that was supposed to tip at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
We got invited to a kind of a VIP showing of Spider-Man. So we went Saturday morning, like 9 o'clock, 9:30. And it's a long movie, the new Spider-Man movie. And when we got out of there, I was like, hey, I want to get home. I didn't have any idea. I didn't even take my phone in to the movie theater. I didn't even take it in. And so I had no clue. And I told Lauren and Maddox, I was like, hey, I'm going to get home. I want to watch this Tennessee-Memphis game. And so I'm scouring. I'm like, where is the game? Like, they've got the Western Kentucky App State game on both ESPN and ESPN2. And I'm like, why are they showing the same bowl game on two of their, you know, channels? What is going on? I'm searching everywhere. I'm like, what is happening? And then, of course, I see it on the crawler. Tennessee-Memphis postponed or canceled. That game was canceled. It's not going to be made up. So, I mean, people learn. I felt bad because I had talked to some people that actually were on their way down there, and they, you know.
I was going to go.
They canceled it an hour before the game.
Elijah was there.
Yeah.
So Memphis was dealing with, you know, obviously not, but I think they've been shut down for a bit, as a lot of teams have. The Kentucky-Louisville game is not going to happen. Word coming out this morning about that. So hated that the Tennessee-Memphis game didn't happen in Nashville, and doesn't look like it's – well, it's not going to happen this year, and I just hope that they keep it in the rotation. Well, despite the two coaches not liking each other.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, Rick Barnes has been asked about it several times before that game, including from me when we had him on our afternoon show. I guess it was on Thursday. And, you know, he wasn't committal on it. He's, you know, he said they want to play teams in state. And if it works out, great. But they don't want to be tied to Memphis every year if they can get some other marquee matchup. Rick Barnes is about playing, you know, really good teams and testing his team early and having a really good schedule and RPI in preseason. So he doesn't want to be married just to Memphis. And, you know, it's obviously a missed opportunity for both. And Tennessee fans are livid, and they're presenting it as, here's Penny Hardaway ducking Tennessee. That he knew he was going to get his backside handed to him, and he didn't want any part of that. And that's one element. You could take that for what it's worth. I mean, that's the fan thing to say. But what the bigger issue is that Penny Hardaway had two players that tested positive. Well, the others that brought them down to just four available players were contact traced, because they weren't vaccinated. And Penny Hardaway said earlier this year,
90%, right?
Exactly. And then he came out and apologized, I guess, in that press conference, saying he misspoke. How do you shut down most of your team and leave you four available players but only two tested positive if you went out and said 90% before? How is that even close to misspeaking? So
he misremembered, like baseball players.
It's lame. And, you know, that's where I have a bigger issue, is that they weren't set up to be able to handle a couple of positive tests. And so there's even, I mean, this was already venom filled, and there's even more anger that direction and shots taken back at Penny Hardaway, and he brings a lot of this on himself. So, you know, it's unfortunate. People think it's all positive tests. No, it's the contact trace, especially when guys, athletes, coaches, whatever, aren't vaccinated, and then it shuts them down for a longer period of time. You can't test your way back out of that like you can for vaccinated players. Just sucks for Nashville, sucks for everybody that made the trip and planned on it, even all of us that wanted to watch it or listen to it, whatever. It just sucks that it couldn't happen.
Yeah, and that's another reason. I I don't want to see this go away, because the more these two don't like each other, the better that's going to be for attention, right? I mean, people are going to want to see this game, because you're going to have two fan bases that can't stand each other to go along with two coaches that can't stand each other and two teams that probably are going to be really good, which should have a lot of intrigue around it. So I hope they continue this and it doesn't go away. And obviously, for selfish reasons, I hope they figure out a way to keep Nashville in the rotation.
I agree, because the point was supposed to be home, mid-state Nashville, rather than just neutral side or just home and home. And for the theory of, hey, Memphis was ducking Tennessee, they just came off by far their best game of the year in Rappin, Alabama. I mean, if they're going to feel good about taking on Tennessee, who wasn't ranked as high as Alabama, well, then it's going to be in that game. So I get that you want to point in that direction and you feel that way, but I think it's more of them not having their situation and their protocols, enough people vaccinated to be able to handle this kind of stuff. And I know you guys have talked a lot about the NFL moving their goalposts with all their rules and everything else, and I don't, you know, we can get into that, but it sucks for everybody. But I agree with you. It would be nice to see these two get after it again. And, I don't know who both of them might try to reschedule something. But Penny Stark talking about, oh, we'll do back-to-back days. And no, you won't. Stop it. You won't play back-to-back days to make up a game. I'm not buying that nonsense.
Talking to Vince Ferrara, and Vince, it's a really interesting – we could sit here and dump on Memphis, and, you know, there are a lot of question marks there. They clearly did not have it together, as you've articulated well. Going forward, though, I do wonder, with all of what's going on, you mentioned the NFL. Of course, we've had, you know, the NHL has been going through the ringer. We've seen that up close. We know the NBA's had a lot of issues. It's just out there. So I'm just curious, what is the, as you try to prepare, if you're Rick Barnes, for the SEC season, and this would be any college program, that has to be a great lesson for all coaches and programs. What are our protocols? What am I doing to try to minimize the possibility that I have to play some games without key players, or I have to not play a game? I don't know how often they get tested, Vince, but that is one thing I wonder about. Like, I know just with the Predators, they got the enhanced protocols. They were testing once, sometimes twice per day, and so that was a big challenge. So what is, best you can tell, the testing policy right now for SEC teams, or is it up to the individual school?
I believe it's daily. I'm not sure. I think it is, because, you know, each area, each state has different, you know, state guidelines, things like that. I don't think there's a uniform SEC guideline or rules. The league has some overall general guidelines, but those aren't specifics. I think it is by school, because of each area is different. So I believe Tennessee is testing more frequently, but then you get into the, all right, you don't have to do as many of the precautions if you're vaccinated as you do
right
for those that are unvaccinated. So there's a lot of different areas on that. I'm not 100% sure on each little scenario. But you're right, it should be a lesson to make sure you get things taken care of, because as much as people listening to us right now are thinking, it's my choice, my body, I should be able to do whatever I want. When you're in a team setting and there's so many other people that are connected to you, you have to be able to think about other people. And sometimes you need to sacrifice for the team, or some of your freedom may be taken away in ability to do what you want to do based on your decision to or not to.
Yeah, the unvaxxed, that's a whole separate category that they've been dealing with for a while. The real complex question now, Vince, of course, across sports, is what to do about players who are vaccinated, even boosted, that test
right
positive and maybe are showing zero symptoms or very, very mild symptoms. what to do about that. How quickly can they return? That is where it really gets complicated. So if you're still out there with some unvaccinated players, that makes it even more complicated, because it's complicated enough trying to deal with a player that tests positive who's vaccinated.
Exactly. And then some of it is presentation, what are the optics of it versus what's the reality of it. And then the legal part of it, you know, maybe some schools are less willing to put themselves into, you know, any sort of, litigation type of scenario. They're less willing to do that. So there's a lot involved, and you can be like the NFL and change your rules on the fly, and maybe eventually college athletics will, and some schools will get to that. But right now it's just kind of everybody, I think, with a different set of rules right now. It's unfortunate. But at least for Tennessee's standpoint, back to the court, Tennessee's got such a strong non-conference schedule. Arizona coming up on Wednesday. The Memphis game is not going to devastate them. I think Memphis needed the Tennessee game a little bit more for a resume. They've also got more losses. So I think it's a little bit more damaging for Memphis potentially than a Tennessee who's had a really good non-conference schedule overall.
Talking to Vince Ferrara, 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville. So have you busted out some old tapes of John Ward yet calling Shuler under center? Because those apply again with Navy Shuler transferring to Tennessee, of course, the son of Heath Shuler, the former Vols quarterback. I know he's got 4 years of eligibility. He's a preferred walk-on. So, I mean, Hendon Hooker's coming back, going to be the starter. But what does this mean maybe down the road if he sticks?
Well, it's exciting for Tennessee fans, and I'm sure for Heath Shuler to have his son play there. You know, he's a guy like that that has mobility, threw for, you know, tons and tons of yards in high school. But, you know, he went to App State initially, and he hasn't played on the college level in the Group of Five yet. He didn't play last year. So we're not certain on if his skill set translates to the SEC. You know, I hadn't seen him in person, but there's that hope at least, and it's a body that I assume at some point, because he's coming from App State, that he, you know, will work his way into a scholarship. They should have them available. So at least it gives you some sort of backup plan, especially if Joe Milton comes back. You don't have to rush him out on the field or anything like that. And the same thing with Taven Jackson, who they signed, the four-star from Indiana that they signed in the early signing period. And so, yeah, I think I expected them to bring somebody in from the transfer portal. It just has a little bit more juice and bite to it because it's Heath Shuler's son.
So who stands out to you from their signing class after Wednesday?
Certainly Taven Jackson. He did an interview with Jimmy Himes from our afternoon show. Really impressive. Extremely impressive when you hear him talk. He actually played in a wing T offense in high school, and he's a basketball player, a really good one. Addison Nichols, who I really like as well, their highest rated offensive lineman, he raved about Taven Jackson and his athleticism as well. He has those leadership qualities. With his basketball ability, Josh Heupel talked about how his basketball skills translate for him in the pocket. You can kind of see those pay off with his mobility in the pocket, strong arm. I mean, he looks the part at 6'4", has a frame to where he can add some more strength to that body. And they needed a quarterback, and I think they have a pretty good one there. You know, I mentioned Nichols. He's their best offensive lineman. Really like the wide receiving group. They have four guys, a couple of 6'3 receivers. They needed outside guys, and they have different types of receivers, a 6'1 receiver, a couple 6'3 receivers, and a 5'10 receiver, Marquarius White, who goes by the great nickname of Squirrel. So they've got, they're pretty set in slot type of receivers, and White gives them tremendous run after catch ability since they're losing Velus Jones. And the other guys are kind of young still. But I do like that wide receiving group overall. On defense, maybe the most significant thing outside of quarterback in the whole class, guys, is they got pass rushers. And they needed guys to get after the quarterback. They had to manufacture them. They had to manufacture quarterback pressures through blitzes and scheme more so than individual talent. Georgia was able to lay back in the coverages and disguise things because they could get home with their front four. Tennessee did not have that ability. They didn't have those kind of special edge pass rushers. So they got a couple in this class. They really closed out strong in guys that were on the table, one that flipped from Georgia, and just a really good group of defensive linemen, I think. And, you know, they didn't bring in a tight end, and probably not enough DBs. But overall, under the circumstances, for them to have a, you know, that top 15, top 20 class that we talked about, I think the staff deserves a ton of credit for what they're able to finish with and bring home. The key is, because it's not the biggest class, is they need to hit on a bigger percentage of them, because it's going to be a while before they can replenish that roster like they need it.
Yeah, and another thing, too, that kind of stands out to me, I mean, they got Elijah Herring from Riverdale and Murfreesboro. That's a Tennessee kid. Uh-huh. Cameron Miller, the receiver from Memphis. I'd like to see them get more out of the state as well.
100%. And that's still a little bit of a question, Chase. Good point. Those are the only two in-state guys. So that's still a question to be answered with this coaching staff. I think because in-state, it relies even more on relationship building, that it's going to take more time to pay off. I think they're doing better in 2023 and 24 in those areas. Just didn't have enough time to flip a lot of guys in the 2022 class. So, yes, that, and then the elite five-star players, they didn't have that. So I think that's another thing that still TBD with this class. But, yes, that in-state has got to improve and pay off at least in the next class.
Yes, for sure. Vince, great stuff as always. Enjoy Tampa. Enjoy the family. Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep, Merry Christmas to each of you guys, your families, and everybody listening. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys having me on each week, and we'll talk to you from Nashville next week.
Yes, absolutely. Vince Ferrara, 99.1 The Sports Animal, up in Knoxville, joins us every week talking about the Vols. We'll have much more, including getting back to the Titans, when we come back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you as we talked a little Vols with Vince Ferrara. We'll get back into the Titans as well, as they fall to the Steelers yesterday. And we wanted to talk about Julio Jones, Willie. We haven't gotten into that as much yet. About just the hamstring and the research. You know, we know it's been an issue for him. We talked about it. And it's funny, too. A texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, referenced it earlier of, you know, when we had Chris Domino on talking about Julio Jones and some of the concerns that he had, that it's all playing out. But I know you had some thoughts on the hamstring in particular.
Yeah, and this, I think, would have to be put into the category of hindsight is 2020. But I just, they have to be looking back and asking themselves, did we make the right move here? When they decided to go down the road of let's make the bold move for Julio Jones, it was with the idea that you're going for it. You're trying to win it this year. They had to know that there was some risk involved. My question is this, and the reason I bring this up is because I can remember very vividly a situation when Javon Kearse was about to become a free agent, when he left the Titans initially and went to the Eagles. And Floyd Reese said, you know, I really want to see the medicals on his foot. That was what the big issue was. And Drew Rosenhaus would not reveal the medicals. And so Floyd Reese said, well, I just don't feel comfortable really going down the road of heavily pursuing, you know, Javon Curse. And then the Eagles paid big money to take him, and he went. So I do wonder what specific information did they have on Julio Jones's hamstring specifically, the injury he had last year. And I don't know the answer to that. Maybe they got everything that they wanted to get. But how specific were they able to get all the information they wanted to, or did they have to take a little bit of a leap of faith in, hey, you know, the guy for the most part has been very healthy throughout his career, and this was a one-time thing, and it's taken care of? Because just retroactively, when you take a look from the moment that training camp started, it's been one thing after another with the same injury. Like, it's not like he started down the road and then 3 or 4 weeks in this popped up. It's really been an issue from day one of the training camp. And as has been pointed out all around, it's not just something that hurts you this year, like Jadeveon Clowney. Last year, they took a flyer, they had the money, they were desperate. It was a 1 year, let's go for it. But they weren't on the hook for anything after that year. For Julio Jones, they invested a second-round draft pick, which they haven't given up yet. Plus, if they were to cut ties with him after this year, it's going to cost them $13 million in dead cap money. So I really hope that they had all the information on the hamstring that they could possibly get. They may have had it all, and this still the worst-case scenario happens. And let's just hope that the saga is not over. Maybe there's still some production they can get from Julio Jones between now and the end of this year. But it really looks bleak, right? It would be it's gravy. You certainly can't count on anything from him at this point. So I am really curious about what they did behind the scenes. And I give them all the benefit of the doubt, but it's gotta be mystifying to them and frustrating that it's the same thing that has been an issue from day one. They haven't gone two straight weeks without hearing about Julio's hamstring.
Well, was there anybody that we had on the show from Atlanta that gave any hope? I mean, I didn't start feeling good about saying, yeah, go get Julio Jones, because I was all for it. I was pro Julio Jones, and then we would trot people on from Atlanta, and it certainly didn't make me feel better about it. Now, they're not doctors.
But they weren't talking about, hey, this hamstring will never heal. There was a lot of questioning about who his work ethic, and he doesn't practice very much.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing. But, like, this could have been just straight up a medical thing, that this is just – this hamstring is balky. It's a big, big risk to take him at this stage of his career, especially if you're going to give up a second-round pick and take on that contract.
But you didn't hear anybody say – look, they've got better people to talk to, right? Because they've got people who are more tuned into the situation to form an opinion, as opposed to people that we talked to who covered him. But none of them said, hey, but that was here. You know, it doesn't mean that it's going to follow him to Tennessee, you know, to Nashville, and, you know, that this is going to continue. Like, there really wasn't anything hope-wise from people we talked to from Atlanta that would suggest, hey, you know, it ended sour here, but there's a chance you could get the old Julio back. Like, none of that picture was ever being painted. So it definitely didn't feel good every time we went to Atlanta and we talked to people. And so I'd like to know who they talked to that made them feel good, because we didn't talk to anybody that made us feel good about the move, right? Everybody that we went to and talked to in Atlanta was like, geez, man, they're basically good riddance. See you later. Good luck with that. So I would like to know, who did they talk to?
Yeah, that all of us
get a different opinion.
Yeah, all of us were just talking to people around the situation. I'm just wondering how much info did they have access to? Because I cited an example of a guy who makes the decision in Floyd Reese who did not have access to the medical records. I just that's the question I'm asking. How much access did they have to all of the info on the injury to his hamstring last year?
How much access did they have?
And I don't know the answer.
And how much access should they have? I mean, to me,
Yeah.
If you're going to make a trade, you should be given access to all the medicals. Like, that there should be a folder that is, like, you're allowed to look at before you execute the trade. I mean, they always say that he's got to pass a physical, you know, for the trade to become official. Okay, fine. But I think you should be able to look at the entire medical history with the player before you make the move. And
they may have, right? We don't know that the answer is no. They may have been able to do that. I'll give you another example, Jack Eichel. You know, that huge trade with him needing the neck surgery, that was a big issue as to why it took so long. They didn't want to just give out the medicals to everybody. But I think they eventually got to a point where the teams that were interested, I think they did share some medical information. And of course, the Golden Knights had to decide that he was allowed to have the surgery that Buffalo would not let him have. So this is why I'm bringing this up now. Is this happens around sports with trades. You saw the Mets with Kumar Rocker, for better or worse. You know, time will tell, but they saw the medicals before they signed him, and they walked away. So I don't know if the Titans had that in front of them and said, okay, we're okay with this. Our doctors, we feel like this is worth investing in, because it was a big investment to get Julio Jones. It's a go for it move, and unfortunately, it's backfired. It's been worst case.
Oh, when we talk about it in the offseason, people are going to cringe. And they realize that they're stuck with him. It's going to be like, yikes! Because this year it's very friendly. Next year, if he doesn't produce, if it's this or worse next year, man, is it really going to hamper this team? Because right now he's much more affordable this year against the cap.
Yeah, I have it right here.
Next year, ooh,
cap boy. Hit the next 2 years is
it more than triples next year.
14.3.
And what is he at, 4 this year?
Correct, 4.1.
Yeah, it more than triples next year.
Dead cap would be 13.2.
That's in other words, you can cut him, but you still got the $13 million.
Yeah, it doesn't do any good.
And then the next year is the dead cap's 8.4, and then they have, you know,
this is going to be brutal. I mean, if things don't turn around, this is going to be like, yikes. This will be one that will always be brought up. Like, it didn't work, and it didn't work. And it's going to not only not work, but really hamper them. Because, oh, by the way, your quarterback that is having an awful season, I don't know, maybe awful is a strong word, a very average, pedestrian, at times below average season, his hip goes up to almost $40 million next year. It's like 38 something next year. That's what Tannehill is going to count against the cap.
Yeah, because he restructured to do this deal with Julio. Yeah,
they basically extended
the pile. Right, they pushed the pile back to go for it this year. That's why it's so unfortunate, all the things that have piled up. And having said that, they've certainly proven that they can be still a very good offense if they can get A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. I'm sorry, A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry back. And those are the big questions. And that was something I heard on the broadcast yesterday. You heard Tony Romo and Jim Nantz. They're the number one team on CBS with Tracy Wolfson. They tried to get some kind of answer on Derrick Henry. And they were very careful on how they said it. But at one point, I think it was Nantz, but I'm not sure.
I think it was Nantz.
It said throughout the term, 2 weeks.
Yep. I think it was
2 weeks. And there was like a question mark on the end of it. 2 weeks.
Yep.
Not sure. Like, he was careful on how he said it to not say, hey, this is what Mike Vrabel told us. He said Mike Vrabel didn't tell us anything. But you get the feeling that they were trying to give a ballpark the best way that they could. So I do wonder if there are any clues in that. But now you're looking at, boy, you got to hope that you get A.J. Brown back, and then hopefully there's Derrick Henry, and you can still make a go of this season. Because all of this to say, next year with the salary cap is a mess.
So let me ask you guys this. They've been able to run the ball since Derrick Henry has been out. That has not been the issue. That's not what we're talking about. Now, these guys all combined are not Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry brings a different element to the table. But they've been able to run the ball very effectively. Why is it when Derrick Henry is in there, Ryan Tannehill, we're singing the praises, and he's an above-average quarterback. He's a different quarterback. Yep, they're running the ball effectively in his absence, but he's more times than not below-average quarterback. Why is that?
Because I think the defense knows that, yes, the Titans are running the ball you know, good enough. But Derrick Henry is such a different game changer and such an explosive player that they're going to focus more on him. I mean, they're just
they're cheating. They're cheating up way more to stop Derrick Henry than they are Foreman and Hilliard. Even though Foreman and Hilliard are doing a remarkable job, they're getting tons out, but they're still being defended differently. And then on top of that, the defense doesn't have to worry about A.J. Brown either.
Yeah, I don't think there's a fear of Deontay Foreman busting out for a huge play like Derrick Henry would, and so they could give up some yards to cover these, you know, wide receivers that, you know, are not A.J. Brown or a healthy Julio Jones, and so they're going to sacrifice a little bit to stop the pass game and to slow Tannehill down. And it's worked.
But why would you try to stop the pass game when we've sat here and said the pass game is no threat because they don't really have a serious threat? I mean, who really is – what are you scared of? Who's going to beat you?
Okay. Nobody.
So, but you just said you're cheating to stop the – so what are you cheating on? That's what I'm – again, like, you're not stopping the run. They have no threat at receiver or tight end. So – why is it that Tannehill looks completely different when Derrick Henry's not in the backfield?
Because Derrick Henry is one of the most valuable players in the league, as we've been saying for that long.
I know the answer to it, but I just want it for all those previous
AJ Brown is a massive piece.
Yeah, but it's still not the same. Because AJ Brown hasn't always been available. Derrick Henry is the key. Derrick Henry is the key. And so for all those previous conversations of Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, like, we know the answer now. Like, it's like, just stop it.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even close to being the same to how valuable they are to this team.
Yeah, but here's
it's all about 22.
Yeah, and all true, but here's the other thing. Tannehill was still making mistakes when Henry was available. Like, Tannehill has not looked the same
this year.
But
there have been people going, like, why aren't people giving Tannehill the respect he deserves? Why isn't he in the MVP? Look at his numbers, all that stuff that's been out there for a year and a half. Like, now we can look back and say, give me a break, okay? Tannehill is the byproduct of what Derrick Henry makes him. Derrick Henry changes everything for everyone. Derrick Henry elevates. Ryan Tannehill does not elevate. He can only elevate whenever things – because Derrick Henry has the team on his back, and then he can do his thing and not hurt the team. He was making mistakes, but not to this level. Not anywhere near to this level.
I mean, he didn't throw four picks in a game, but he was throwing Arizona through one, two against Indy, one against Buffalo, one against Kansas City, two the second time against Indy when Derrick got hurt. So, I mean, he was still turning the ball over at an alarming rate.
He definitely had some throws that were not what we saw in the first year and a half of him as the starter. I'm trying to be fair here. I think he's had a lot of hardship, though, when it comes to pass protection. And, of course, what we've been saying, he's got all guys who basically make the league minimum around him right now. But on top of that, yeah, he's made some poor decisions, even when he had the weapons.
Fumbling the ball has nothing to do with his weapons. And he's,
that was a killer.
He's had poor ball security. He's made bad decisions. He has not had a good year. And there's
the fumbled snap. Take everything else that happened that was unfortunate. The other fumbles, all that. The fumbled snap on that last drive when they have to have a touchdown. How much of a difference is it if they're down 16-13 instead of 19-13?
Of course.
That's the difference of the fumbled snap.
Huge. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the third hour, but first I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. They can help you. They've helped me for years, and they can help you. They can help you become healthier and happier. They can improve your quality of life, and as we all get older, I hope you want that. It doesn't really matter what your age is, you should always want that. You should always strive for that. Weight loss management is important to them, and they've got a team that can help you. And maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds. It tends to happen as we're adults. Whether it's the holidays or not the holidays, you can tack on some unwanted pounds. More than likely, most of us will all have that battle or struggle our entire life. That's just how it works. Well, they've got programs and products and people. If you're in that space right now where you want to get rid of those, shed those unwanted pounds, well, they can get you back on track ASAP and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, and it's more challenging as we get older. Well, they can sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally hormone therapy. Did you know that your levels dip as you get older? Do you know that can affect you in areas that maybe lately you're like, I don't have the same drive or the same energy that I normally do, or I've been experiencing some mood swings. I feel like I'm not myself. Well, these things are affected by your levels, and they dip, and they could dip to an all-time low the older you get. You should get them checked. Hormone therapy is important to them. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff, Michelle, has been sitting down with me for years and helping me for years, and they can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. We'll talk to Rick Stockstill to begin the fourth and final hour of Darren Donick and Chase coming up in about 10 minutes. They won the Bahamas Bowl. They beat Toledo. They get the bowl season kicked off Friday morning our time. It was an 11 o'clock kickoff, so we were talking about during the show on Friday. Right now we talk with Pat Sperduto, the man, the myth, the legend here in our market. And, Pat, it is crunch time. It is time for us to keep getting the word out, and we're going to be at Mercedes-Benz of Music City on Wednesday during our show. So that's an opportunity for people to stop by and help out. But we really need people to help out because this is our final push this week before Christmas morning.
We made a great dent too, by the way, with neighbors. They did a
awesome.
They did a nice job, and we got a lot of really good stuff that we're going to be able to help some of Nashville's homeless on Christmas Day. And I can't thank Zach and Victoria Pillar for helping us out and letting us have a drop off at neighbors, both in Sylvan as well as Germantown. And of course, Yogi's getting ready for Christmas Day to load us up. And then I can't thank Mercedes-Benz of Music City as well for letting us have another drop off on Wednesday between 10 and 2. And we're looking for, again, just to kind of go through it, new socks, not dress socks, like wool socks or athletic socks are fine. Gloves, bigger sizes are better. Sweatshirts, definitely the bigger the better. And knit hats. And everything has to be new because of COVID and with the way this thing is going right now and everything's picking up. We're gonna have some limitations on us too as well, where we're gonna have to make sure we're masked and I'll make sure everybody has gloves and stuff to hand out stuff. So we're gonna do our best to keep everybody safe first and foremost, and of course then be able to help out the people of Nashville that are less fortunate or have had some bump in the road. And Christmas is a great day to give back, and your listeners have always stepped up to the challenge, and we're going to ask them one more time to stop by Wednesday at Mercedes-Benz of Music City.
734 Envious Lane is where we'll be on Wednesday from 10 to 2. Tell everybody, if they're able to swing by there during our show hours on Wednesday, what they can drop off.
Again, larger, bigger sweatshirts. Everything has to be new because of COVID. But anything larger, bigger, it doesn't matter what, if there's a logo on it, if there's no logo on it, if it's plain, it's irrelevant. Whatever is available, if you can go to like a box store or something, a store that has stuff discounted, as long as it's a sweatshirt, it's going to help build a layer for the homeless. Socks, like we said, they have to be new. Gloves. Gloves are always huge, especially, you know, it's supposed to be nice, hopefully, Christmas Day, or what we consider nice for winter in the 50s. But that cold spell like we had this morning, people are going to need help. So, again, large sweatshirts, gloves, socks, and knit hats. And, again, between 10 and 2 at Mercedes-Benz of Music City on Wednesday.
All right, we will continue getting the word out. Who is the next opponent of the Chiefs?
We got the Steelers on Sunday.
Mm.
Just saw them.
Yeah. You need anything? You want any tips from us? We saw them.
Don't turn the ball over four times.
Just if you don't turn it over four times, you're going to beat them.
Yeah, with everything that's going on, you know, we're just hoping that everybody, like I keep saying, everybody's safe and we can get through this next run of COVID that's running around our country.
No doubt, Pat. Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks again. I appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you, Pat Sperduto. We like I said, we will be at Mercedes-Benz of Music City on Wednesday during our show, 734 Envious Lane. Please stop by and help out if you can. A lot of you already have at Germantown, as Pat just said, at their two locations. So thank you so much at Neighbors, where Zach Pillar owns those, and his wife helping out and collecting those items. So we really appreciate that. Right now, we'll come back with Rick Stockstill. We'll talk about their win in the Bahamas. I'm going to talk to you about DraftKings Sportsbook. Yeah, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. They have got a gift that will certainly put you in the holiday spirit. Kind of like my shirt. I'm full of holiday spirit. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team and win $150 in free bets if they're victorious. It's that simple. All you have to do at DraftKings Sportsbook, customers can get in on this Christmas spirit with a holiday free bet surprise. Everyone will get a free bet up to $50 instantly at DraftKings, and they're giving away up to $10 million in prizes. Let me repeat that. They're giving away up to $10 million in prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that code 1025GAME, and bet just $5 on any NBA team and win $150 in free bets if they win. That code again, 1025GAME, this Christmas week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Remember, you must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.